Hello, this is Janet Meshuggah Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, we're on the topic of message to the true believers, and as you will remember, it's based on a prophetic lesson that the Lord gave me, and we have just gone through a lot of things, and you know what? We're going to keep on till we go through the whole thing. We left off the last time where the Lord in this lesson said to me, look up and know that I am at the door, and as you work, keep your eyes on my coming. He talked about the fact that this will not hinder our effectiveness. Oh, it just makes us work more fervently, doesn't it? And I'll take up there. He said, productivity measures amount. Effectiveness measures the extent to which you have fulfilled your purpose. You know, as I've said before, so many times we want to decide what our obedience will look like. And if you think about it, that doesn't make any sense. Obedience is following what you've been told to do, not deciding what your obedience will be or deciding what your sacrifice will be. And that brings us to 1 Samuel 15:22 through 23. The context here is Samuel had told Saul that when he defeated this group of people that they weren't to save anything. And they saved some animals. And when Samuel realized what had been done, Saul said, well, we've saved the animals so that we can sacrifice and give an offering to the Lord. Do you ever wonder if he really was going to do that or if that was just a cover? But either way, what Samuel says addresses this. Samuel replied, has the Lord as much pleasure in your burnt offerings and sacrifices as in your obedience? Obedience is far better than sacrifice. He is much more interested in your listening to him than in your offering the fat of rams to him. For rebellion is as bad as the sin of witchcraft. Either way, you're going against what God has said. Isn't that true? And stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. Oh, have you ever heard someone brag about how stubborn they are? Don't brag about stubbornness. Stubbornness will keep you caught in a bad pattern. That's one thing. But stubbornness will also keep you caught away from the plan of God. We don't want that. And now, because you have rejected the word of Jehovah, he has rejected you from being king. That was from the Living Bible. God will tell us when and where he wants our sacrifice. Our job is to be listening and to be obedient. And then the Lord went on to say in this message to true believers, pray for your accusers. Now, we've talked about the fact that the world is going more and more into darkness. And as the world goes into darkness, there will be more accusation against the people of God. Look at the way Jesus was dealt with, and he said, if they did this to me, they'll do this to you. Pray for your accusers. They are blind and headed for an unthinkable pit. Let's look at Matthew 5 verse 48. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and makes the rain fall upon the upright and the wrongdoers alike. For if you love those who love you, what reward can you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brethren, what more than others are you doing? Do not even the Gentiles, the heathen, do that? You, therefore, must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that's from the Amplified, and that's the way the word perfect it kind of exploded in its meaning, so we can better understand what the original hearer heard when they heard this word. And it's growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity. And that happens when you go against the grain of your flesh that says, well, they did this to me and I'm going to do this to them. And you know, a lot of times we call righteous indignation what is really just our own agenda. Oh, wow. You may have heard me say before that I was reading about how Moses is referenced as the meekest man that ever was. And I then thought about the fact that this same Moses struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock, and for that he wasn't able to go into the promised land, and I thought that that was contradictory. And this is what I have come to know. If it seems a contradiction, I just need my understanding developed, because it's not contradictory when you are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Moses never took up for himself. Wow. He took up for the people, and then he got frustrated because of what they were doing. But think about what happened when the Lord, because Moses was under a lot of pressure, told him to call a group together, and that he would put Moses' anointing, he would share it on these other people. That is the very condensed version of that story. And that there were those that did not come to the place where he had said for them to pray, and they were out prophesying. So a tattletale goes and tells Moses what's happening. And Moses said, oh, that all would prophesy. Wow. You know, it's sad when we become competitive in terms of ministry. Because here's the point. There's a lot of lost souls out there, and there's plenty to go around. If the end result you want is to see souls, oh, see how many you can save. That's wonderful. But when it's to see how much visibility you can have, or how greatly you're thought of, oh, that has no place in ministry. That's free. Now, the Lord went on to say, they have forgotten that I am, and that I know all things, talking about those that would accuse you. Let's look at Jeremiah 23:23-29. I love this. The Lord speaking says, am I a God who is only in one place? Asked the Lord. Do they think I cannot see what they are doing? Here's the point. Just because you've forgotten, or in the way you're living, it would seem that you've forgotten that God is watching, doesn't mean that he has forgotten. He sees all things. Do they think I cannot see what they are doing? Can anyone hide from me? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth? Asked the Lord. Now, and this I want to remind you of. If God sees, then if you've got a problem with someone, or you feel like you're not being taken up for in a particular situation, isn't it good to know that God knows the truth? And that it's all going to be sized up eventually. And it's all going to be dealt with eventually, and justice will reign. You know, here's the thing about justice. Sometimes we don't want there to be justice because we want there to be mercy. So we show the mercy now, and then God will make sure that everybody gets what's coming to them, because he knows everybody's heart. Isn't that wonderful? And the Lord goes on to say, I have heard these prophets say, listen to the dream I had from God last night. And then they proceed to tell lies in my name. You know, I really believe with all my heart that is one of the worst sins that we can do, is to do something that's our own agenda and put the name of the Lord on it. In a way, sometimes it's nearly like a spiritual blackmail, where people will say, oh, God said this, and it's their own agenda, but now, you know, your hands are tied to do anything about it because they've said God has said. Well, you know, the same word that they use to justify what they're doing, that they're above reproach or whatever, says let one speak and two or three judge when it comes to prophetic words. And if it doesn't witness with your spirit, it doesn't witness with your spirit. Well, and said, then they proceed to tell lies in my name. How long will they go on? If they are prophets, they are prophets of deceit, inventing everything they say. By telling these false dreams, they are trying to get my people to forget me, just as their ancestors did by worshiping the idols of Baal. Let these false prophets tell their dreams, but let my true messengers faithfully proclaim my every word. There is a difference between chaff and wheat. Does not my word burn like fire? Asked the Lord. Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes rocks to pieces? Oh, don't worry about the chaff. There's people out there saying, thus saith the Lord, all the time. You know, I think that some are actually ignorant, but some are willingly ignorant, and then some are deceitful. Well, All we can do is continue to speak the word of the Lord. And just like the chaff is burned off the wheat, so God's true word will take care of that situation. And in the meantime, well, how does this apply to you? Well, if you're a person that feels like, oh, I never even presume that God has spoken, or I never, well, you may be making a mistake there, because he may be speaking to you. But let's just make sure that in all of our lives and all of our doings, that it's not our evil agenda out there. What is evil agenda? The things that are the result of the hurts, our experience, our complexes, our insecurities, fill in the blank. Anything that is not God's purpose in you. Remember us talking about the eternal gifted spirit in you? Well, if it doesn't have to do with your eternal gifted spirit and the purpose God has put in you, and you're out doing something, well, then that's your own agenda. And that's chaff, that's not wheat. Wheat grows the word. Well, let's go on. Let's see how far we can get. The Lord said, their distorted perception, because of its convenience to their agenda, is leading them to view the negative as the positive, or evil as good. Let's look at Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. And let me tell you, if you don't feel like evil is being called good and good evil, you're not watching what's going on around you. You know, those that would save the lives of babies are now called restrictive and mean-spirited. And yet those that want everyone just to have the freedom to kill a baby whenever they want, as long as it hasn't been technically born, now they're the ones that are merciful and loving. It's unbelievable what we've done. And concerning other things, now, if you speak the word of God, it's restrictive and it's trying to bring people down. That is not the gospel. The gospel does not bring people down. It lifts people up. Like I've said to you, the bottom line of the gospel is you need a Savior and you have one. It isn't just saying you need a Savior and leaving you there. It's saying you need a Savior and you have one. This Isaiah 5, 20 through 21 says, destruction is certain for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. And we'll go on with that the next time. But I want to ask you this now. Do you need to know in your life that your purpose is being fulfilled in the way you're living? Do you want to rise up above your hurts, your experiences, that agenda that keeps trying to come in where you think that you're doing something differently, but you always end up with the same result? Do you know God can set you free from that? You don't have to live in the sins of the past. You can be set free to do what all your purpose is in God. Oh, let's pray about that. Father, I thank you that you have sent us a Savior to set us free, Lord, from ourselves, from our faults, failings, but also our hurts, our bad experiences, Lord, our insecurities, our complexes, so that we truly, Lord, can fulfill our purposes in you as the Holy Spirit leads us and enables us. Thank you that this is possible because you have rebuked the devourer for our sake. And it is in Jesus' name and authority and under his blood that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, God has a message for you, and it's this: obey and leave the results to me. It's hard to do, isn't it? And I'm praying for you.